do you find interest in Woody's work more today? I mean, you started unpacking the boxes, I think you said, in 90 and 91, and so here we are almost 20 years later. Is there an interest? City of Tulsa has an interest in your work. I know that. That's why you're here in Tulsa. Is that true, that there seems to be an increased interest that Woody never felt during his lifetime?
I think he always had enough people interested him. He always had a circle of people. That was enough for him. You know, my dad's first album, Dust Bowl Ballads, they made 500 copies, and it sold out. That was considered a lot in those days. He was so proud. 500 albums. Can you imagine in today's music industry? A beginner, you know, can sell 500. Woody Guthrie, biggest hit, sold 500 copies. I want to turn it around and say he was more interested in people than he cared that people were interested in him. People were his muse. He would walk the streets. He would always carry a notebook. He would see someone on the train, on the subway, in the car, in the fields. He wrote a song about everyone. All of those songs were left behind. My dad wrote over 3,000 songs that I know of, which means there's others that I don't know of that were out there, because he wrote a song for everybody and about everybody he saw. He could write 5 songs a day. He wasn't a big editor. He didn't work on a song for days and days and days and days. He would whip them out, 5 songs a day. So there's all this material, and to answer your question, I told you I discovered these boxes in 1992. I was already in my 40s. And the excitement, the childish excitement that I personally felt when I looked into these boxes, because I really thought, you know, dad's stuff, what could be there? Pastures of Plenty, I don't know, some Dust Bowl Ballads. I really thought I knew it all. And then when I started opening the boxes, I realized that of all of my dad's works, he only recorded like 150 out of 3,000 songs. That's ridiculous. That's beyond ridiculous. So I had this excitement like a kid. I used to open up my parents' drawers, you know, at night when they were gone, like, what's in their drawers? It was kind of like that. I was like a little kid again, open up the boxes, like, oh my God, Dad, I didn't know you wrote that and that and that and that and that. My own enthusiasm just kind of went nuts. And I started working with contemporary musicians and publishers and filmmakers and anyone, like a kid in a candy shop. Does anyone want to play with me? It was childish like that. Anyone want to play with me? So I started with all the records and the books and all this other stuff. So I would say the momentum that we feel now that's kind of led up to this moment really parallels my own personal excitement and all the musicians that didn't know Woody personally, but the next generation and then the generation after that, bands like Wilco and Billy Bragg and Dropkick Murphys, punk bands, folk bands, rock bands, classical musicians, filmmakers, just everybody has said, yeah, I'll come over and play with you. It's just really been that kind of experience. And I think also because, like, one of the things you first said, it wasn't about just book reading, although I'm a big fan of book reading, but there has to be some real discovery and excitement, the excitement of discovery. And that's been my experience personally. Anyone who's come to the archives is like, oh my God, I didn't know he wrote that. You know how generations have to discover everything for themselves? You can tell a kid, go read this book, go read this book. And then one day they call me, Mom, did you see this book? And like, yeah, I've been telling you about it for 20 years, but they didn't hear me. They just discovered it. So there has to be that natural evolution of personal discovery. We're kind of going through that right now. And the archives has allowed a lot of kids, without me hitting them over the head or anything like that, of just like, oh, wow, did you hear that? Musicians, they're discovering Woody. In their time, we talked about what Woody culled from his friend, Jesus Christ. Bob Dylan culled from his friend, Woody Guthrie. And now you have kids culling from their friend, Bob Dylan. And then Bob brings them back to Woody, blah, blah, blah. So there's like really interesting connections that kids are discovering. They knew about Bob Dylan, but they might not have known about Woody Guthrie. It's like, oh my God. Hey man, did you know that there was this guy, Woody Guthrie? I get a real kick out of that.
And you've reached out, like you said, Billy Bragg albums, Mermaid Avenue and Mermaid Avenue Volume 2. It was all upon your invitation. Native American trio Black Fire recorded his songs upon your invitation. So who knows how many more are going to be invited, and they get to expand on their musical experience, and it all comes from Woody.
What's great about this is a creative process, because Woody left behind the lyrics, but he didn't do musical notations. He would write the key up in the corner of the lyric, G, D, something like that, but he never wrote the music. So we really had this opportunity to use the sounds current. Every decade has a tone, whether it's disco or Lindy Hop or folk or blues or rock or whatever. So using the tones, and I say that in a very deep sense, not just the chords, but the tone of today. And these guys come in, or I match them up. I'm a good matchmaker, too. That's maybe the Jewish side of me. Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. I'll look at a lyric and say, oh, my God, the tone of this, the tone of the words, it just feels like the Ramones. Mm-hmm. And so I'm liberated. In a way, I'm liberated from the folk music small circle that my dad had. Knowing his ideal of inclusiveness, growing up with that, whether it was religious or musical or anything else. By the way, about religion, on our birth certificate, it says all or none under religion. I mean, I got the message that it's all about inclusiveness, so I'm completely free and relaxed about inviting a classical composer or a punk rock musician or a rock musician or someone from another country, someone from another language, etc. And I really look at the lyric and I go, okay, where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? I'm like a foster mother.
But what are you going to do with a rap artist?
Oh, I've worked with a number of rap artists. Absolutely. First of all, Woody was well-versed in talking blues, and talking blues is the ancestor of rap music. So a lot of his material is absolutely prime for rap. As a matter of fact, I have recorded with Michael Franti from Spearhead. That's early rap artist, and some others that I've worked with. I dare you. You can't name anywhere I haven't gone with this material, because the material is for everybody.